All right. I feel like I'm Jimmy Fallon writing one of those thank you notes on his show. If you still watch Jimmy Fallon.
Haven't in a while, though. I did see when they brought U2 down in the subway system and they all were in disguise.
I watched them on Saturday Night Live.
That was the most recent Jimmy Fallon thing I've seen.
Thank you to Dallas. Thank you to Kansas City. Thank you to Pittsburgh. Thank you to Green Bay. Thank you to Las Vegas. Thank you to Indy. All of those NFL teams have resisted the pressure, the urge to tinker with their original uniform. So thank you to those teams.
I don't even like when my team wears dark at home. That should be against the law. It should be against state law.
And with the Bronco uniform or UTEP or UTSA, whoever
Illinois.
They were introduced yesterday.
I like UTSA. I'm biased.
I love the throwbacks. I wish that would be their full-time uniform. Yep. Their throwbacks are great. The other two, they can throw away.
Mm-hmm. I think they did that on purpose. Like, okay, here it is. But no, before you overreact.
But it was so bad, people are like, oh, I'm not forgetting
the orange
what you
ones.
Did.
Yeah, just trying to create a diversion. And then later we have really big news about our roster. Real big news. Might have a quarterback.
Broncos trade for Wilson again. Huh.
I'm surprised that news didn't come out about 9:30 last night, Central Time, during the Nuggets game.
And there are so many misses on uniforms, on rebrands, or just a tinker here or there.
How is this so
more
hard?
More misses than hits.
I noticed you didn't mention Chicago. Chicago hasn't really tinkered their uniform. They have an alternate like everybody else does. But
I thought he did.
They still play? None of those teams are in quarterback purgatory, right?
Until they're not. Yes, they've been in quarterback purgatory since Sid Luckman.
Hey. You watch your tone. Will Fuller might be listening.
So yesterday at the Yankee A's game early on, I was going to watch this game. It was on MLB Network.
Noon game.
I was going to watch how porous the Yankee offense is. Boy, Aaron Judge. Boone getting thrown out yesterday. Clouds over the fact how bad the Yankee offense is and how much of a struggle Aaron Judge is. But they're, seven games above .500. They're only, are they a game back in the AL East? So, as bad as their offense is, they're still playing pretty well. So Boone gets thrown out yesterday. And one of the first things I thought of, Jimmy, because Hunter Wendelstadt threw him out from what the guy in blue had said behind the dugout.
Literally in blue.
Didn't Tim Duncan get thrown out of a game sitting on the bench?
On the bench.
Yeah,
by Joey
smiling.
Crawford?
Yeah.
Joey threw him out in like March of 07, and he was suspended for the rest of the playoffs. That's ironically, right. Tim Donaghy was refereeing games in that playoff, but that's a different conversation. But yeah,
so that's what I thought of yesterday. Is like, of all the wild ejections that make no sense, the Tim Duncan one is like right at the top. And then yesterday came in, and I did not see
right up there when Billy Crystal threw everybody out and forget Paris for lying.
Bam. We need more mics around the field to catch these conversations.
Yep.
And there must be something at Yankee Stadium with the Yes Network mics, because you remember
it was clear as day
when Boone came out and argued with the young umpire that was working behind the plate in a Rays Yankees game. He said, "My guys are savages."
Yep.
And you could hear the entire thing. So you didn't need John Boy to break it down. I saw Wendelstadt's response. I did not see in there I made a mistake.
Nope. Not at all.
So whatever the fans said. And they got to track him down, right? Somebody's got to do a story on this guy.
He was the only guy in the section wearing all blue.
But there is a part of me.
The meme guy with the thumbs down?
Yeah.
That's what I picture.
That guy became I had a friend who went to a game and found him and took a picture with him.
That was a Yankee game, right?
Yeah.
So this is what I picture yesterday.
This is for Frazier.
So here's where I'm going to give it a little bit to Hunter Wendelstadt. Now, there's no accountability with umpires, and they can do whatever they want, but he can't. I would take him off the rest of the series, and I would maybe pause him working Yankee games for a while. But Aaron Boone, man. Aaron Boone MFs umpires 162 games a year, and he gets after him. Like, he swears as much as my math teacher who was the football coach in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's F-bomb, F-bomb, F-bomb. That's Aaron Boone.
That's how I was a mess.
So there is part that go, okay, I've dealt with him, and I'll let him go because he gets after it. And you know what? So I'm not going to give you the benefit of the doubt, because anything coming from that area, that's got to be Boone.
Based
because he does that the entire game on me. And so, boom, you're gone. I'll give him a little bit of leeway, but there is the bottom line. I'm going to watch Skeens pitch tomorrow. I'm not going to watch Laz Diaz Jr. behind the plate.
That was the most disappointing part of it. Because, yeah, Aaron Boone's got a reputation. A lot of managers have a reputation. You know that. The explanation, because it was an apology, the explanation afterwards without taking any accountability at all.
Now, he had not seen the video, which clearly,
yes,
you know, the video was fantastic theater.
Yes, it was. The animated Boone pleading his case was one of my favorite things. But and yes, I don't shed too many tears when it comes to anything involving the New York Yankees or Aaron Boone. But this is a product of umpires and I think officials more than anything under attack. And I'm not saying that they're being unfairly treated, but in moments, yeah, justifiably so, they're under attack. But you think of the reputation that Aaron Boone has of having a conversation earlier after the first pitch, and then you hear that coming from that area. You're trying to nip that in the bud right away. You're anticipating. You're basing that off of reputation. You're assuming that that's where it came from. And I know even his explanation is, I knew it didn't come from Aaron Boone, but it came from that section of the dugout, and he's the guy that's the manager. At no point do you say, if that came from a fan, that's unfortunate and that's on me. Even if you hadn't seen it yet, I need to take a look at this. And this is where I also think officials, umpires are becoming a lot more defensive because of the type of pressure that they're under. It's
defensive.
Not just...
Some are... Boy, Angel Hernandez is about to become your friend. You'd like standing up for Angel Hernandez here.
Oh, no.
Angel, Laz, no, Hunter. We got the infield.
Bad umping is bad umping. And especially guys that are veterans, you have to be better.
Did you see the Kansas City Baltimore game Saturday night? First pitch is right down the middle of the plate.
Oh, yes.
And Ryan Lefevre goes, what was wrong with that?
Frank Drebin goes, it couldn't make the third out. That was they were afraid that.
Hunter Wedelstedt is not a very good umpire.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, in that game,
I gave him a little bit of an opening, but
we're going to Harry's school, not Hunter's.
You have no accountability because the union's going to protect you.
Yeah.
But you can say, "Hey, I made a mistake."
Right. And that's the thing is, if he's pleading that, if he's saying, "Hey, that didn't come from me," this is where I think again you have to be understanding of the situation. This goes back to judgment. I mean, being an umpire, being an official, it's in the moment judgment calls. I totally get that. But when you can step back and you do have the ability afterwards, when you explain your side of it, to see what happened and say, you know what? Yeah, that one is on me. You've been an umpire for however many years. Hell, you run an academy. I would think that you want to do right by the game
and
itself.
And not the sports
story. There's no accountability there. I don't know what.
No, there's zero accountability.
Yeah. So are you saying you support him?
No.
Or
are
you just,
no.
You're reiterating what I said about if you're going to hear a guy that MFs you all the time, you have a little opening to go, yeah, that's probably from you.
Yeah. You get, then you have the rabbit ears, and that is the, it's like before a guy even tags a guy at second place, you're anticipating the double play. You're just assuming the double play as opposed to it actually happening.
Now, this needs to happen more often, fans, to get a player thrown out of a game where an umpire has rabbit ears and they think it's coming from the dugout or the player. Like the next Creighton-Nebraska game, Nebraska fans, sit behind the Creighton dugout and just chirp. Just chirp the entire game.
A guy who's wearing blue, you could say he was a Royals fan.
Just chirp.
Yep. And try to use some of the language that you hear from the other coaches so you could kind of maybe have a southern draw like Rob Childers.
Some people pull the fire alarm
channel
at Indiana
blue
when you need a stoppage. Just chirp, chirp, chirp. Yeah. Let that umpire think it's coming from the dugout. And when he stops and he hollers at the dugout, and the entire dugout turns and looks at you, and you go, I have no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah. No, the thing that pissed me off more than anything was the explanation. That was the thing that drove me crazy more than anything.
It's just like his opinion.
Taking
man.
Zero accountability. What I thought about, and I had an umpire who now umps college games, and he's been an umpire in a lot of the Nebraska Creighton games this year.
Okay, so people will pay to go watch Bill McGuire.
not Bill McGuire, but that's a good guess. And he used to ump a lot of the high school games when I was involved in Columbus. It was after when they were playing Portland. He was doing a game. There was a real close play at third base. He texted me that night and realized that I was doing the broadcast and asked me what I thought of the call. And I kind of laughed at him and said, does it really matter? He goes, I just want to make sure I'm getting these things right. And I appreciated that.
Yeah.
Like that was being able to, hey, I think I made the right call. You know what? Maybe I didn't. Somebody who maybe had a different view, I'm curious what they think. I appreciated that because that's someone who knows maybe he was wrong, wants to get another perspective and be able to work on whatever, maybe in whatever position he's in or whatever the moment was. That, to me, is someone that takes it serious and accountability. That was the most defensive response yesterday for something that was, it was a BS ejection. I hated that part of it. Not being able to acknowledge that you should not have ejected him or acknowledge the situation that was happening. That was the worst part about the entire thing. You can get confused in the moment. You had the ejection. You can't take it back. Okay. But afterwards, yeah, you know what? I saw that. That's my bad. That's on me. Need more of that.
If you're not married to an umpire or it's not like a family member, have you ever paid to go see an umpire?
No, I have not.
Now, there were some characters back in the day, like 15, 20 years ago in baseball, like the John McSherrys and the Eric Greggs.
The Dutch Rennerts.
You would know their rotation, like Frank Pulley. You would know their rotation, so you might be lucky enough to see them. Oh, yeah. There were characters. Like, I would pay to go see Angel Hernandez F up a game.
You pay to see him screw up a call, yeah.
I would. If he was working the next Royals series, and I know that, okay, it's a 3-game set, and he's at second base on Monday night, so Wednesday he's going to be behind the plate, I might pay to go watch him to see really in person how terrible he is at his job.
It can work the other way, yeah, where you're so bad at umping, and it's been well documented that people see how could you even be worse tonight than you have been?
You knew the umps who never wore sleeves no matter how cold it got. Miss that baseball.
You miss Doug Harvey is what you miss.
Yeah.
What was the Dutch Rennert thing? He had the signature.
He would kneel down. And he turned to the side, and he would say, "Strike!"
He's the inspiration for Enrico Palazzo.
Enrico Palazzo,
he really is. Like that's yes.
I used to know. I through my pops, I got to know a lot of those guys in the off season. They would, we'd end up at like banquets and stuff. There was different back then, where there was a lot more socializing.
Yeah,
but they were also better.
And they also, characters.
And they
good.
Also did not have TV cameras or mics. But,
yeah.
But yesterday showed also, we need more mics. We need more field mics so we can hear all of this kind of stuff. And that John Boy is fantastic. Because he yesterday goes, I don't even have to say anything.
Yep, he just stopped and let the audio do the work there.
All right. Well, when we come back to finish off the show, I just got one of the more touching, impactful things that this show has done to a guest. Just got a text from him. I'm going to share it with all of you because it is heartfelt. And I think we changed somebody's life that is a guest on this show by a conversation we had.
Oh, so it's not Jack and their softball victory. Okay.
I'll share that with you when we come back. It's Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.